Blog Talk Radio.
Now, that theme song can only mean one thing. It's 2019, and we're back. That's right, it's time for the Two Guys Soccer Show. I'm Mike, he's Ted, and in honor of Bird Box, we're both doing the show blindfolded tonight. So, as always, we are brought to you by the lovely folks at Flanagan's Harp and Fiddle, 4844 Cordell Avenue in Bethesda, Maryland, Maryland's premier venue for sports and entertainment. And as it was the festive season, you know it was rocking down there over the last couple of weeks as we fed on the feast that was festive season English Premier League football. Stead, was it a good holiday period for you?
It was an excellent holiday period for me. It was well deserved, I think, after a nice fall semester, and something I was vastly looking forward to, and got a chance to get out of town for a little bit and really just kind of recharge the battery and hitting the ground running, ready to go. And even with the family obligations and traveling and various other responsibilities, such as daycare being closed, I still managed to squeeze in as much soccer as possible. So it was a good week, and it was a couple weeks, and it was a great holiday.
I, too, like you, was out of town. We went down for Christmas the holiday and took a cruise to Mexico. Got to see Chichen Itza with the family. It was absolutely great. Watched soccer on two different continents.
Awesome.
So, yes, always a good time talking the beautiful game with our brothers and sisters abroad.
Mm-hmm.
And there was plenty to talk about. So, in honor of 2019, I'm going to spring one on you. Can you think of a New Year's resolution that you might have for a team or a player?
I'm actually going to rehash a New Year's resolution that I made for my beloved Arsenal Gunners a while ago. And I have an image that if I could share with everyone, I would. But it's the Arsenal logo with the cannon. But that cannon has been replaced by a wheelchair. Arsenal, my New Year's resolution for them is to get their physio department in order and to do something to keep their players healthy, because, again, they're tied with West Ham as the leaders in the Premier League table in the most injured team award of the year. They currently have 9 players who are out, and most of them actually are coming from their defensive third of the field, which if anyone has seen any Arsenal games recently can understand that that's where they've had their most struggles, especially after that game against Liverpool. So my New Year's resolution for Arsenal is to try to figure out a way to better keep your players on the field, because this just seems to be something that this team goes through year in and year out. And of course, teams that play more games have more injuries, but Chelsea has 4 players. Tottenham is at 5. Arsenal is at 9. That's my problem, and that's my resolution for my beloved Arsenal Gunners this year. What about you, my friend?
I have a couple. For the team on the other side of North London, Spurs, my New Year's resolution is for them to actually buy a player. You know, at this point in time, I'm not even concerned if he's a good player. After, and yes, I know, we're only about 9 days into this January transfer window, but As of yet, no rumors of any oncoming signings for Tottenham. It looks like they'll stand pat yet again.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they just need to buy somebody just to prove that those muscles still work. So my New Year's resolution is for Daniel Levy to open up his checkbook and spend some money to bolster Mauricio Pochettino's side, just to remind people that he still actually has the ability to do it.
Right.
For Christian Pulisic, find a good financial planner.
Yeah.
Because you're going to need one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let me piggyback on your Christian Pulisic. Christian Pulisic is also going to find out that there are going to be people who are going to be claiming to be his acquaintances and friends that he didn't even know existed a month ago. So, yes, find a very, very good financial planner. And make sure you have a manager that answers your phone.
Santi Corzola. A good Christmas gift for him and the New Year's resolution might be a resume service. Because I feel strangely like he's going to need one despite having the 2-year deal at Real Madrid. However, given the state of affairs at Manchester United right now, there's a team in Norway that may have an opening to come into the season if he's interested.
Mm-hmm. I love Santi. He's a legend in my eyes. Always will be a legend. One of the greatest players ever at 5'5".
Mm-hmm. I have another one. For Uncle Nuno, don't change.
No. 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 That's, you know, and just leave it at that. Just all you have to say.
I'm sorry. I missaid Santi Corzola. I meant Santi Solari, who is the manager of Real Madrid, who needs to polish his resume because after two games, coming back after the holiday, two games in La Liga, no wins, and another loss. So he's going to be needing to polish his resume sometime soon.
Yeah.
We'll
say this, though. Santi Corzola is – Real Madrid sniffing around because he's playing really well in Villarreal, so you never know.
Villarreal is actually playing in the Copa del Rey as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
So doing good things. Wolves knocking out Liverpool out of the FA Cup, albeit a Liverpool reserve side. But
Right. You know,
with the cup set last night, we were looking after this weekend to see if one of the big boys was going to go down.
Yep.
We had to wait a little bit, but sure enough, one of them did.
And round three is often when it happens. There's always somebody that falls in round three in the FA Cup. Always.
There's always one that falls in round three. Now, we know that there's going to be a big boy out in the next round, and you and I are going to make plans to watch this game because
absolutely,
Red Devils against Arsenal.
Absolutely.
Coming up at the end of January. And a round four preview, but we'll get on to the FA Cup in a little bit. Diego's
in
the same vein as Uncle Nuno. Diego, just keep Diego Simeone. Just keep doing what you're doing. I don't know how he keeps doing it year in, year out, but don't change.
Yeah.
Just do what you're doing.
Absolutely.
And my last one goes to MLS. New Year's resolution. Just sell Miguel Almiron already. Just get the deal done. All right? And I'll talk about this in our good, bad, and the ugly. But in that one of those ongoing transfer rumors that gets to, needs to get resolved. Oh, my last one. Wayne Rooney, get a better mugshot.
Yeah. And also, Wayne Rooney, just get on the plane.
I don't even think it's get on the plane. I think it's just get off of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure if he was getting on. I saw the story and I was like, I don't even want to waste my time. But
well, we'll talk
you know
about
what?
That.
Wayne is Wayne and we'll talk about that, yeah. What do you it's Wayne. just get to the field, Mark.
I'm thinking of a commercial from I guess the 2010 World Cup. that featured Wayne Rooney, and it was just one of the England players yelled, "Wayne, you can't do that!"
Yes. That was when he runs and grabs the gloves from the goalkeeper, and then throws the ball to himself to try to score, and then he's out of position, and they score on him, and they're all yelling at him. That's a great commercial.
Yeah.
That was a great one.
ESPN did have some great World Cup commercials.
Oh, those were fantastic. Mm-hmm.
So, some things that you saw that you might have liked. Give me something that you thought was good over.
Well, you know, what was good is what's looking good is my preseason pick for who was going to win the Premier League. Yes, they did lose a very, very, very tight, exciting back and forth match to Manchester City recently. But taking nothing away from Liverpool when I talk about Arsenal's lack of defense and their injuries, that team is amazing to watch. And the first half against Arsenal, after going down 1-0, to roar back the way they did, and just the way that the way that team knows where their teammates are. Was something. It looked like there were 13, 14 players in the field sometimes. And that's a really, really good squad. And that's something that is definitely that I thought was good. Was just, I haven't had a preseason prediction that has come through in quite a while, and I'm feeling pretty good about this one. Another thing that I saw that's sort of stretching out is, you know how the Premier League plays a lot of games during the holidays. I believe it's 3 or 4, and they're already well into the second half of the Premier League schedule. But, you know, La Liga takes a little break. They don't play quite as many games, and they're almost hitting the halfway point in their season. But, you know, we discussed this earlier. You still have a good amount of parity going on in La Liga. It looks like Barcelona may be beginning to run away with this. But you have, even though Real Madrid is definitely seems to hit some skids again recently. They're only 10 points out of first place, and they're in fifth. And so that is good. I'm probably going to just sign up for Fubo.tv so I can watch these Spanish games, because I got a feeling like there's going to be a lot of great football to watch coming up in the latter part of the season. It's going to get really, really exciting over there. So those were two things that I just thought were really good coming out of this long weekend and going into the new year.
I would agree with you. Liverpool does look solid. Again, we don't see. I would figure that you would be praising the loss, because that means that Arsenal will remain the only unbeaten Premier League team throughout the course of the season. Going to the games without suffering a defeat, and 17 wins against 3 draws in those 20 games. Certainly a great achievement. I remember the last team to go into the break undefeated was the 08-09 vintage of Manchester United.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I don't even think it was that one. It may have been a later one. It may have been 9-10. Year after Ronaldo left with Chicho and Fernandez. But I remember that they went, but that was a team that drew a lot of games. In fact, they had an absolutely horrendous road record.
Right.
If not for the fact that they went 17 wins and 1 draw at home, they would not have won the Premier League.
No.
But to see Liverpool play as well as they have in as many venues, going once through the entire schedule, and then some home and away before suffering their first defeat. And in a barn burner of a game at the Etihad, there's no shame in defeat there.
No, absolutely not.
And it looks like it's going to be Man City and Liverpool contending for the title this year. I think
we've
seen Liverpool defense and injuries are going to catch up with Arsenal. Lack of a goal-scoring threat is going to topple Chelsea. Tottenham, lack of depth,
yeah.
And United are just too far out of it.
Right.
So I think it's a two-horse race. But
right.
What a two-horse race to have.
Absolutely. But, you know, but I also, though, what's exciting, too, though, just because you just mentioned it, though, is, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with Spurs, because you just talked about their lack of depth, which I completely agree with. But we're looking at the potential of four teams playing for two spots for 3 and 4, especially if Spurs don't maintain their kind of, like, because right now it looks like you have a two-team race for first and second, and you have a three-team race for fourth, where Spurs are just kind of like sitting in the middle of third place kind of comfortably. So, but that could, you know, Spurs do have a lack of depth, and it looks like they're going to sell Moussa Dembélé to a team in China. So they do need to make a purchase to address that situation. So granted, he's also injured, but you know, Eric Dier had just had an appendicitis. So they have some concerns. I don't think Spurs should get too comfortable.
That would be my biggest, would be them getting too comfortable. And I think that lack of depth over a 39-game season, when you're also got the Champions League and you know, the EFL Cup, where they were victorious over Chelsea at home in the first leg of the semifinals, and a potential FA Cup run. My question is, you know, if Pochettino is successful, guides him to the EFL Cup finals, and they are able to overcome that and win a trophy, does he take his foot off the gas, for instance, in the FA Cup? And say, you know what, enough said, we're going to rest players. If we go out, at least we won a trophy. That was my goal.
Right.
Does that winning a trophy, which they haven't won, take the pressure off? Or do they start to ease up and say, mission accomplished, it's a successful season, we've won our first piece of silverware since the war?
I believe 2000. Yes.
And then back off. It can go a lot of different ways. I have my concerns over that club and the ambition of that club. As I've mentioned with Daniel Levy, there's some refusal to buy any players. You know, they're it looks like Moussa Dembélé is going to be gone. More alarming than that is the potential that Christian Eriksen may also be leaving.
Right.
It looks like probably not in this transfer window, but certainly in the next. Toby Adebayor had his contract re-upped, which gives him a ludicrously low £32 million buyout for next year. So almost certainly he will not be there at the start of the season. You know, the reinforcements need to start coming in, and they start coming in soon.
Right.
For a team that has largely relied on its youth system, you know, they either need to start bringing youth players up, and we need to start seeing them. We know that, you know, they have access to a player like Cameron Carter-Vickers, who can come in and play, who has played in that system, but he's on loan.
Right.
You know, who do they like? Who are they going to go after? We need to see some reinforcements come into that side, and I just haven't seen them with any consistency. Perhaps that's part of the curse, is that Mauricio Pochettino does seem to rely on a core of players still very heavily.
Right.
But I agree with you. It looks like there's going to be a battle-for-the race for two spots in the Champions League. And don't sleep on, you know, Bournemouth. A couple of very interesting signings early in the window for them.
Right.
As they look to maintain their position. We talk about, and they're sitting in 12th. Leicester City, a little bit back is only 2 points back of, is 7 points back, I'm sorry, of United, but they're still there or thereabouts. You know, you could have a surprise team that comes.
Right.
And heaven forbid a shock team win the FA Cup.
Mm-hmm.
That takes that sixth place Europa League
That's going. Yep.
That's gone.
Yep, that's gone.
So, you know, you need to make sure that you're at least in the top five. You'd like to finish in the top five to guarantee yourself a spot
Absolutely.
In Europe at an absolute minimum for next year.
Right. And you're right to talk about Bournemouth because they've definitely hit a run of bad luck. I mean, they think they've dropped three of, like, at least the last three. And, you know, they were hanging out in six for a while, and they've dropped down to 12. But we've seen that team have their ups and downs. And, you know, I think Eddie Howe is a brilliant manager. And if anyone can take this little break for the FA Cup weekend and kind of like, let's right the ship a little bit. And they were very, very wise in the – I thought they were very wise in the signings that they made in the transfer market. So, yeah, they could easily go on another little run like they had earlier in the year. And – again, you know, I've talked about that's a tough place to play, and they've been at it long enough that they don't fear anyone anymore. You know what I mean? Like they've become a solid Premier League team. For they're having a nice little run, and unless they have, you know, some sort of real financial disaster, I think they can really hang around for a while. So yeah, teams are these mid-level teams are they're writing checks, man. They're writing checks, bringing in bodies.
Well, they certainly splashed the cash. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly what the loan fee for Nathaniel Klein was, but I've got to believe it's not cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the interesting one was the £19 million on Dom Solanke.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting, and doesn't at this point sound like that big a deal, right, when you think about it?
Mm-hmm.
When you think about the 20-plus million that Bayern Munich just splashed out for Alphonso Davies, 58 million for Christian Pulisic, 19 doesn't sound like much.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, it is a club record for a team like Bournemouth.
Right.
I feel that makes him the third most expensive English striker ever.
Really?
Yes. The only two English-born strikers that cost more than Dom Solanke were Andy Carroll, $35
million. Uh-huh.
And Wayne Rooney at 30.
You're right. Wow. You know, I guess, you know, a good striker is that I guess, you know, teams just don't let him go until they're well past their prime. So, but yeah, okay.
There's also $6 million in add-ons that pushes that fee possibly closer to 25. But
right.
And English strikers don't tend to move to English teams.
No.
All right. And right. There haven't been, I mean, you know, it's not exactly like there's been a lot of great English strikers.
I was going to say, there hasn't been a glut of English strikers now.
But when you look at Andy Carroll, certainly he was banging in the goals. 35, probably a lot to be paid for him at that time, but that was that move from Newcastle to Liverpool after the Fernando Torres transfer. Wayne Rooney, 18 years old, had already spent 2 years, was banging in the goals.
Mm-hmm.
Dom Solanke, 5 starts, 16 substitute appearances for Liverpool. He never even touched the field for Chelsea.
Right.
1 Premier League goal. But he seems like a relatively, you know, young player, right?
Yeah, he's, you know, I mean, he's 21, you know, he's definitely, you know, still pretty green. The hope is that, of course, he can, being in a smaller market, being with a smaller team, he'll have more opportunities. There's no real guarantee that Callum Wilson is going to stay at Bournemouth for long, too, because I know larger clubs are sniffing around him as well. So
certainly after that goal in the England call-up.
Absolutely. So, I hope this pays off for them, but, you know, I mean, because this could be something like, you know, this could be the steal. Could turn out being a real steal for him because, you know, he's not competing with big world-class strikers on, you know, Liverpool and Chelsea. So he's not doing that anymore. So this will hopefully be a good opportunity for him.
The interesting thing that I saw out of all of this stuff, like I said, 21 appearances for Liverpool. mm-hmm. at 21 years of age. You know he's 2 months older than Marcus Rashford?
Wow, really?
And Rashford's had 148 appearances and 39 goals.
Yeah. Wow. you know, and don't forget Marcus Rashford played in – he was the, basically the only English player that anybody had anything positive to say after the last Euro. And so it seems like he's been around for quite a while, which I guess technically he has been, but it's amazing how young he is and how young he was when he was making that kind of noise already. So, but that's a good kind of segue because we can't not talk about Manchester United right now.
Well, of course, was going to be my good for this festive period was the Renaissance.
Yeah.
Under Solskjaer.
Mm-hmm.
You are my soul scar, my soul scar.
Old Gunner's back,
happy when skies are gray. No Alan Shearer was ever dearer. Please don't take my soul scar away. We talked about it on our last show that it was a positive run of fixtures for him to take over during the festive period. Put up some winnable games for Manchester United, albeit ones that, interestingly enough, they had sort of struggled with this season under Jose Mourinho. And what you've seen is a good feeling around the club. They're playing with more energy. They're attacking. Shock of all shocks, when you let those players, those attacking players, run at other teams and attack, that's what they do, and they look positive. And you've had a string of good results. 5-1, Cardiff City.
Yep.
3-1, Huddersfield. 4-1 against Bournemouth. 2-0 against Newcastle.
Newcastle.
Second Premier League clean sheet.
Mm-hmm.
And a 2-0 win in the FA Cup against Reading in the game that they didn't necessarily play all that well in.
Right.
You can see, though, that what they offer going forward, they lack in the defensive end.
And 16 goals.
Against 3 conceded.
Yeah, but Man United didn't have a stretch like that all season.
No.
Where you're they're putting the ball in the old onion bag, to quote Tommy Smith. And that is but that's something that was kind of been the big critique on Jose Mourinho, the whole park the bus, and to really I guess play players out of position or play them in a manner that they're just really really uncomfortable, and to see it looks like Old Gunner is just taking the gloves off, and he's like, "Hey guys, go out there and have some fun. No, go learn how to enjoy playing again."
That's exactly what he has said, is that he wants them to go out and his attacking players to have fun and express themselves creatively.
Right, and that comes to 16 goals. So it's clearly something positive. He's doing something right.
And you've seen Paul Pogba. Look like Paul Pogba.
Yep.
4 goals in 3 games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 2-2 for Romelu Lukaku.
Mm-hmm.
Rashford's putting the ball in the back of the net.
Mm-hmm.
Martial's contributing. You know, even in midfield.
Yeah, Jesse Lingard's getting back in there.
You know, he's been more than willing to give some of the players who have found themselves on the fringes an opportunity to go out and play. You know, brought Matteo Darmian back in fold. You hear Matteo Darmian, who had been angling for a way out of the club, say, "I'll play anywhere right now."
Mm-hmm.
You know, given Angel Gomez, the highly touted youth player, an opportunity to go out and play, getting Tahith Chong, the young 18-year-old Dutch winger with the fantastic hair, an opportunity to go out and play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you saw there was a rare Andreas Pereira sighting. you know, getting some of these players in and saying, let's see what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's as much for the club as it is for him to say, look, we've got players on this team, Mr. Mourinho, that can play this game
mm-hmm.
if you let them play.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what they do in this window, they've been linked to every defender since Rio Ferdinand and Ghost.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty sure they just signed Rio Ferdinand's left knee to a tryout. But, you know, you see how he's going to play. I think that Dalot, when he gets back in there, is going to have an impact. He's the type of winger that Solskjaer would seem to favor, somebody who's going to play out wide.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Luke Shaw, a winger who's going to play out wide and provide width. That's what he's asked them to do. They're going to need some contributions from their center backs.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, Baye suspended. He looks like a guy who needs a fresh start someplace else.
Yeah.
And when I see Eric Baye, I see a defender who's more than capable and athletic, but I see a guy who's so pressed to make an impact that his
mm-hmm.
decision just is not right.
Yeah, he could be a bit undisciplined at times.
The red card that he picked up against Bournemouth for that tackle was just needless.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Rojo was injured. Jones probably on his way. Smalling
mm-hmm.
probably on his way. They're willing, and that leaves you with only Lindelof, who is still developing, but who he has seemed to trust, but needs a more veteran partner to help him out.
Mm-hmm.
I think that a informed contributing Rojo, which is something that in a Man United uniform you just have not seen in his tenure there,
mm-hmm.
could be a valuable asset to them.
Right. Right.
But they need some help at the back, and it just doesn't look like Koulibaly is going to come through that door this summer. But I wouldn't be surprised at all if you see the likes of Koulibaly and or Adebayor in there next year.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's Ole, it's Ole. If it's Massimo Allegri, it's Massimo Allegri. If it's Pochettino, it's Pochettino.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But certainly the renaissance continues. Bigger test to come. You got Tottenham coming up before
yep.
you play Brighton.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just goes
FA
off
Cup.
Rails.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got the FA Cup with Arsenal.
Right.
Then you've got three eminently winnable fixtures.
Right. As
Burnley,
long as Burnley
Leicester.
Doesn't go out there and start a boxing match again like they did against Arsenal.
But then, you know, you get in February, you've got that PSG, Liverpool,
mm-hmm.
Arsenal, Man City come in front of you before
mm-hmm.
you get into late March and April
mm-hmm.
Before the season starts to wind down for them.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of ground to make up.
Right.
Unfortunately,
and you know
that they need to beat, they play against, but they're going to have to be better defensively. We've seen
yeah.
that they can score with anybody, but it's going to come down to defense, and can they keep it up defensively?
Yeah, you're spot on with all later in the year, because you're looking at even the teams that aren't the part of the Big Six in the Premier League, they're ending the season with Watford, who can exploit a bad defense and can score goals. They're a solid squad. Then you have Uncle Nuno's Wolves. They're going to be there. And, you know, who knows, but they, like, again, that's a strong team. West Ham's playing some great football right now, and then you're ending with Everton. So those aren't four teams that are probably going to be hunting around worried about relegation at that time. So that's going to be a definite test at the end of the year to see, you know, it's going to kind of really see what kind of squad they really have there and to see what this caretaker manager can really do. I mean, I'm sure by then they'll probably have their new manager in place. At least signed by then, but that's going to be an interesting stretch of games to conclude the year for them.
Yes, but it all starts for them this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest test to date for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer at when they go to London.
Yep.
To play Tottenham.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can think of one place that I would want to watch it, It is on the big screen at Flanagan's Heart and Fiddle. And you know what? Barring any unforeseen weather changes, you know there's talk of snow this weekend.
Yeah, I know.
That is where I will be, at visiting our sponsor, Flanagan's Heart and Fiddle, 4844 Cordell Avenue, where I will be watching that game on their 100-inch projection brick screen. There's going to be a big party down there. You've got the Red Devil Supporters Clubs from Montgomery County, the Bethesda Red Devils, and the Charm City Red Devils coming down from Baltimore. So it's going to be a party, y'all.
Nice.
So come on down and join us. And then afterwards, their big St. Paddy's Day, pre-St. Paddy's Day fundraiser. They're raising funds for the, it's 90 days until St. Paddy's Day, I think is the gig, or St. Paddy's Day weekend. So there'll be a big fundraiser afterwards for that. And then if you want to hang around and watch some NFL playoff football, you can do that too. So a great weekend to be out visiting the fine folks at Flanagan's Harp and Fiddle, but Maryland's premier venue for sports and live entertainment, 4844 Cordell Avenue in Bethesda. Come on down and join us this weekend.
Mm-hmm. All right.
You sound like a man who's plotting a way out.
I'm trying, man. Oh, I'm trying. Looking at that door. That sounds like a lot of fun. Let me see. I may just have to bring little man with me.
He wouldn't be the first child to show up.
Oh, definitely not there. He'd probably have more fun there than he would here at the house. Maybe kids for him to play with.
Yes. So bring the family, bring yourselves, come on down and join us. It should be a good one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, my friend. What is bad or ugly that you got from this this stretch?
Well, I'm going to go with my bad is, I mentioned it in my New Year's resolutions, the seemingly unending trial that is the sale of Miguel Almirón from Atlanta United. Now, it's not bad for the Atlanta United fans who, based on schedule, guess who they opened up with the MLS season with?
DC
and where?
United.
At?
DC United.
Audi Field. Yes, March. I believe that's March 2nd. They will be up here in DC at Audi Field. I was looking at the schedule. There's some tasty fixtures that we will talk about later. I know in August, or I think early, I think it might be early August, the 4th, Philadelphia Union are in town, so we may have to schedule an appointment to go see that.
Yes.
As I recall, that's around somebody I know's birthday.
It's kind of close.
Maybe not the exact, what is it, about a month?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought
so.
But maybe an early birthday present?
I think we can work that out. I think we can figure that out. Yeah.
Yeah, we can talk about that. But
we
should
talk about that.
We definitely need to make plans to go down and see that one.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I think this is bad, when Miguel Almirón came to MLS and he spurned Europe to come to MLS from Paraguay, a lot of people thought that this is a mistake for his development. But he went to Atlanta United and under the tutelage of Tata Martino has turned into one of the best all-around attackers in the game right now.
Mm-hmm.
His goal-scoring record, his assist record, just how dynamic he has been, and he has clearly been head and shoulders above his competition.
Mm-hmm.
24 years. You know, there was rumors at the time that he originally came here that he was being looked at by Arsenal. The rumors connecting him to Arsenal has persisted. But it seems after the deal that was supposed to take him to Newcastle, now I'm not sure how sure that was Newcastle and how much of that was MLS, but that seems like that's dead in the water. And it seems to have all gone a little bit quiet. This is clearly a kid at this point needs to move. But MLS has been notoriously slow and notoriously tough in negotiating outbound transfers, but almost to the point where they could be classified as unwilling. Mm-hmm. The reason why I think this is bad is this sends a negative signal, especially to other young international players who might be considering MLS as a place to further their development. Well, you can come over here, yeah, you can get a shot, but when it's time to go, man, they're not going to let you go.
No. Mm-mm. And they're even saying, too, that, like, I mean, the reports of, like, Newcastle saying that his wage demands are too high. Not really. I mean, not really. Not really.
They may be a little high.
They're a little high for Newcastle. I can see that, but I'm also going, no, I think this is more along the line of what you're talking. There's definitely a reluctance and a drag your feet to MLS that's been going on for years, and that could easily be part of it.
The part problem is that when you deal with MLS, you're not necessarily dealing with the team as much as the league has to say.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, you require input from 31 other owners as to the negotiating fee. Because my last reading has it as the league divvies up 44% of the transfer fee amongst the owners.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think the price was paid, the $22 million that was paid for Alphonso Davies. Probably they would want to make enough from their portion, that be them being Atlanta United, to cover the $15 million that they spent on bringing Ezekiel Barco in. But I think they need to get this over the line.
Mm-hmm.
Because although we have seen Alphonso Davies and Tyler Adams both leave, for Bayern Munich, money really isn't necessarily an option. If they wanted the player, they could afford to pay what they wanted for the
player.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
The transfer of Tyler Adams from RB Leipzig, from Red Bulls New York to RB Leipzig, is almost a situation of moving one set of numbers from one page on a ledger to the same ledger. I mean, it's all the same parent company.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like this needs to get done, or else it's going to go down in a long line of failed player moves that we've seen. Lauren, the kid from Orlando,
mm-hmm.
who basically just opted out of his deal and went to Turkey because he wanted to get a move. We saw how long and just how protracted the negotiations for Jose Altidore were. Brett Shea.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a history of MLS doing this, and I think it's one that they need to get over, because their version of their stature in the world is much different than everybody else's.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that while Miguel Amaron would be a consummate pro, I think it's time for him to move on. He wants to move on. And I think the word's going to get back throughout agents in South America. Don't send your players to MLS, but not your young ones.
Right.
Because they're not going to get a fair shake.
Right. And that's going to, in the end, that's going to be nothing but bad for MLS. I mean, it is. The perception of bringing in stars from Europe is, while it's very true, you know, bringing aging stars from Europe, though, but you don't want to do anything to jeopardize that extra channel for talented players that have the ability to play in Europe, but who may be looking for another stop along the way. That's
mm-hmm.
good for your league. That's good for the league. You want players who have extra talents that aren't easy to come by in North America to want to come and play in North America. You want that, even if it's just for a season or two. That's what you want, because that gets more eyes on the league, and in the end, it lines more pockets, because you're widening the river of flow through the league a bit more. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. I think that's a great, great, great thing. And it was really exciting to watch these young players come in who really don't have a lot of really like notoriety in North America. And because they can come here and play without the pressure. That's a mm-hmm. good thing. They can come mm-hmm. here and they can go to a restaurant and they can still be – it's almost like going to college, playing for a college team. And you can come up here from – and also a country like Paraguay. Paraguay isn't exporting a ton of great stars to Europe right now. They have in the past. I mean, they definitely had squads that have competed. I'm thinking of their international teams that have competed at a very high level in international competitions. But, yeah, you know, I just don't see the point in putting a cork in that. That's just a bad, bad idea all around.
Yeah. So what was your bad for this last couple of weeks?
I'm going to do it again. My bad is Arsenal's transfer policy, whatever they do. I don't get it. I don't get it. And, of course, it's the scapegoat is, for all this, is the scapegoat of all scapegoats. It's Mesut Ozil. So you have Mesut Ozil, who can't get on the field consistently. And when he is on the field, he can't produce in a manner that a player who is still relatively in his prime should be able to produce. He's not getting the assists and that he had. He's not playmaking like he has. And he'll have a flash, and you go, there he is. That's the guy. That's the guy. And then he goes away again. He seems to go back into his shell. He is still missing games because he's, quote, under the weather. He's sick. They're now saying he has a knee injury, and he's going to be out until – but then they said he's supposed to be available to play this weekend. This player is also sitting on 350,000 pounds a week, which equates to over, you know, it's like $420,000 a week. So because of this huge issue, you have players like Aaron Ramsey, who didn't sign a deal, and now Aaron Ramsey is going to – it looks like he's going to play out his contract, and he's going to transfer to Juventus on a free transfer. So not only are you losing, probably consistently speaking, your best midfielder over the last 10 years just because he's been a rock of that team for nothing, and you're not bringing in players. Your wage pot is much smaller. You're paying a player who Unai Emery doesn't trust to play, and you're paying him well more than anybody else, and yet you're also sitting on the same thing because Henrik Mkhitaryan, who hasn't been playing well at all this year either, who's also frequently injured, is, I believe, playing on over 200,000 pounds a week as well. So you have all this money tied up in two players that are not contributing on the field, and then you're not selling players to try to make up and try to build up your coffers for some more money. You have nine players injured, and most of them are in your defense. And Skodran Mustafi, I don't know what is wrong with him, but he can't seem to play defense anymore. The last time we talked, you made at the time a very valid point where it appeared that Arsenal was trending up and Manchester United was trending down. And it is shocking how quickly those two positions have changed. I mean, it was like overnight. Now all of a sudden you're looking at this where Arsenal could conceivably finish in seventh place this year. It could happen. I mean, the only transfer they were even talking about was Keylor Navas. What? First of all, that was a horrible rumor that someone started. Why in the world would you bring in Keylor Navas? That makes no sense at all. So,
unless you believe that Petr Cech is definitely on his way out at the end of this year.
Right. Understood. That is not a need that you can't fill at another time. That's not it. That's not it. Unai Emery still believes they can win the Europa League. If he wants to get in the Champions League next year, that's the only way he's doing it. And with your depth being what it is, your inability to make any transfers from what I'm hearing so far, you may not even, if you don't win Europa League, you may be out of all of Europe again next year. And we all see that it's not easy to do for a team like Arsenal, because Arsenal now isn't Arsenal from 2000. This isn't late 90s, early 2000s Arsenal anymore. Arsenal isn't a place that players dream to go. Seems like Arsenal is a place where players go when they may not be able to break into Manchester United or Real Madrid just yet. I'll go play for Arsenal. And, you know, that can't continue. That can't continue if Arsenal still wants to be one of the big boys in the Premier League. And that team and that club is worth too much to be in this position. I think they're ranked in the top five, or the top eight for most valuable clubs in the world.
But a lot of that has to do with the stadium. A lot of that has to do with the league, the television revenue. Doesn't figure in that value out.
Yeah, it does figure, but still, and could this go to the owner? I always forget the guy's name, Kroenke. Who owns the American? You know, he's got 100% controlling interest now. There's a lot of uncertainty around this squad. He's not a young man either, so who knows what's going to happen when he decides to retire and move out of running his sports empire. I don't know. I was very, very happy with the way things are going, but because of the problems with their physio, the problems with their players staying healthy. This has been a problem for them for a decade. And then inability. You're not selling players. You're going to lose Danny Welbeck's going on a free transfer as well, because you're not going to re-sign him and no one's going to buy him right now, considering that he's probably out for the rest of the season. It's a little sketchy right now. So I really hope that I'm just being a downer, and that this is an overreaction, but it doesn't look like they're going to be able to compete for any real titles anytime soon.
So, as we are up against it, on the count of three, the ugly. 1, 2, 3. Wayne Rooney's mugshot.
Wayne Rooney's mugshot.
Yes, Wayne Rooney apparently cited and fined for public intoxication, which he blames on a combination of alcohol and sleeping pills at Dulles Airport after getting back off of a flight from a one-day trip to Dubai for promotional gig. That first reported by NBC4 here in the D.C. area, which secured a mugshot and a photo or a part of the citation where he was released on his own recognizance. He gave his address as Bethesda, Maryland. I wonder if we can convince him to come out to the game on Sunday. Hey, Wayne, if you're listening and you need a place to watch, we got one for you.
We got you, bud. We got you.
But definitely not good. But then again, considering Wayne Rooney's history with alcohol, probably to be expected at some point in time.
At some point,
model professional off the field, not always so great. Or model professional on the field, not always so great off of it.
No. But, he didn't get in a fight.
In there?
Yeah.
We feel your pain. And I think he can afford the $30 ticket.
Yeah, exactly. I think the only thing he really has to worry about is I'm sure that his wife is just extraordinarily pissed off at him again. But
does it get to a point, though, for Colleen where she's like, I kind of saw that coming. It's been about like, does it get to a point where she just sees that coming?
Yeah. I wish the guy the best. I'm glad he wasn't in a car. He wasn't driving. He still got that driving ban in the UK. And I just hope that, you know, you got to get off the sauce for a little bit, sober up, and get back here in February, get back on the field, and give me another reason to go check out Audi Field.
There we go. So, as we exit to the sound of sirens in the background, what are you watching for this weekend?
Oh, man. Manchester United Tottenham. That's going to be a big, big test. And it's going to be a big test for both teams because let's see who Tottenham really is, see who they really are. And, you know, it's too early to put any real verdict on Manchester United. And they're going to play loose. They don't really have any pressure. So that's going to be a really exciting game to watch. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. I really like the way Manchester United's playing. They're going to be running up and down the field, and also I'm curious to see what's going to happen to Real Madrid this weekend. They're playing Real Betis, who is one place behind them in sixth and 4 points behind Real Madrid. And Real Madrid is Real Madrid. And one more thing I want to know as I'm paying attention to is, I'm just so curious about what is going to happen to Jose Mourinho. What about you, my friend?
Well, certainly Manchester United and Tottenham. I think that's probably the big game of the weekend. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to that this weekend as the other leagues get back underway. We have Spain starting up, Germany restarting.
Mm-hmm.
Scotland will be back next week. And guess what that means? We'll talk about it more next week. But one, Timothy Webb, down in the hoops.
That's right.
Big transfer. I think that's actually going to be a good thing. That was my substitute.
Yeah. Yeah, also, too, because they just got Jermaine Defoe on loan, I believe. And that is that's somebody that Timothy Webb could really, really be a sponge and just soak up a lot of knowledge off of, because he's seen a lot in his career. He's even played in MLS for a while, so that'll be good for him. Really good for him.
Certainly, though, looks like Brendan Rodgers has decided that goals are something that he needs, probably more so in Europe than he does in the domestic league. But they took it on the chin on the 29th, losing for the first time since the war to
Yeah.
But no, I'll be watching that Tottenham Manchester United game, and of course, a late shout out to my Philadelphia Eagles, as I will be also watching them go down to the Big Easy, where I suspect they will be.
My bad, Jermaine Defoe actually went to Rangers. I knew it was a team in Scotland. I thought it was Celtic, but he went to Rangers. So
that makes more sense given his relationship with Steven Gerrard.
With Steven Gerrard, yeah.
But that's a very interesting move there.
Yeah, big time.
Big time interesting move there. Mm-hmm. Feeling like they're going to, you know. And it is nice to see Jermaine Defoe, Timothy Weah, although PSG does seem to have sort of a pipeline with PSG right now, because I believe Odison Edouard was another young player that they loaned to Brendan Rodgers. They must like what's going on with him and want to give young Timothy Weah a shot. And I think that boy needs game time, so we're going to track his progress through the SPL. Gives us another reason to watch yet another league. So as we head out, a big thank you to you, my friend, for your participation in the fastest hour of soccer. Thank you,
as thank you to you too, my friend.
All featuring our new segment next week. Give producer Paul a football team. So let's keep thinking about who producer Paul should root for as he grows into this game of soccer. Big shouts, as always, to our fine friends at Flanagan's Harp and Fiddle, 4844 Cordell Avenue in Bethesda, Maryland, Montgomery County's premier venue for sports and live entertainment. Once again, for Mr. Stead, producer Paul, I am Mike, and this has been the Two Guys Soccer Show. Have fun, y'all. It's been
good night, everybody.